Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey everybody, in this episode of the Legends of Tomorrow After Show, we're breaking down Season 3, Episode 13, No Country for Old Dads. We've got sweet hair, time fractures, Wally West starts collecting souvenirs, Dave Child dances. Let's do it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Papa, don't preach. I'm in trouble.
Look at that.
Papa, oh, then I did it.
He did it. I told him it was happening, and it happened.
I told him as soon as he said that, I was like, that's not in my contract. I get extra money when I dance, but you put on, we put on the good music, and it happens.
Yeah. Oh, you're paid in karma, and that comes back a hundredfold.
Good.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Legends of Tomorrow After Show. This show where we break down every episode of Legends of Tomorrow, airing Monday nights on the CW. I'm one of your hosts, Frank Moran.
I'm Dave Child.
I'm Lex Michael.
And I'm Lucretia Lyon.
Ooh. And as always, folks, follow us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And Lucretia's got her computer up and running, which means the chat is up and running. So feel free to hop in, share your thoughts about Legends of Tomorrow in general. Or this episode in particular.
Or us.
What you think about us.
Or legumes, if you're into those.
Yeah, if you don't want legumes.
I don't want to hear no legume talk. I'm cutting the legume talk. Not on my show. No legumes.
All right. It's going to be a quiet chat, guys.
Yeah.
Before we hop into the episode in detail, a quick run, Robin. What everybody think?
Oh, I liked it. I thought it was fun. I thought it was a nice... I was worried when it had a... The last episode ended with, like, an obvious, oh, he's going to be the damsel in distress. But then we were able to kind of see the whole show from another perspective, and I thought that was nice.
Yeah, I think we did a lot of stuff that was very, very fun within the episode itself, but also I feel like we're really shifting the show into what it's going to be for the rest of the season. And I'm very excited now that we have these pieces in place to see where it goes from here, because, yeah, this was a lot of fun.
Yeah, this was probably one of my favorite episodes because I really like the dynamic between Ray and Nora, and it is kind of cute that they're a married couple in real life. Mm. And I always loved Damian Dark, and this was just a good, funny Damian Dark where he got to have fun. He got to wear the Javier Bardem wig, and it's just like, this guy, he's fun.
Is that why it was called that?
Yep.
Dumb.
Even though it was more Guy Ritchie than Coen Brothers to me with some of the takes.
I guess. I just thought, like, okay, it is an assassin, and he is a dad, so they just went with the dad pun. But I didn't realize the hair was a part of it, too.
Yep, that was the same wig. I mean, close to.
Damn.
So we've got a few different storylines happening this week. We've got what's happening with Ray, Nora, and Damian. We've got Wally West integrating himself into the Legends. And then we have a little bit of what's happening with the Totem. So let's just jump in with the most important question is, what does everybody think that the future of Upswipes is going to be now that their founder and CEO is no longer with him?
Right. That was pretty dark.
Will be maybe a decline in innovation. And many of their innovations to come will be priced out.
Diagonal swipe is going to be huge.
Yeah.
And I did love how Damian Dark goes, no, I prefer the ones that go side to side. He even mentioned,
As soon as he was like, oh, yeah, no, this is good. I feel like as soon as he died, Ray was like, no, okay.
He probably was like, I didn't really like that guy, but I'm Ray, so I have to pretend to care.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, would you all agree with that former CEO statement that swiping up and down is more intuitive than left and right?
No, I don't think so. I think when you're on the phone, it's easier to do this, and up and down is for scrolling through the pictures, which I think is good on Bumble. Not that I'm on any of those
dating
websites.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there's a new thing on Tinder where you can just click it to see each picture.
Really?
I like that, too. Interesting. Not that I know that. My friend was showing it to me, who is such a loser.
No. All right.
No, everyone's
Thanks,
on it.
Dave. I showed you
I'm
that.
Not on this.
Wow. Sorry, Anthony. I just called you out.
But I mean, in the grand scheme of things, when were we ever going to really go back to upswipes? But I thought, man, what a dark end for that guy.
Right. Yeah. And just the object of Damien Dark's boredom. Like, yes. There's no reason Damien Dark had to kill that guy other than he had a really good time. No, but he didn't have a really good time. He was literally yawning while flipping the dude up and down against the floor and the ceiling.
I wish he was a bit more of a dick the last time we saw him. Because he was just, like, kind of an annoying guy. But you didn't feel like you wanted him dead. I feel like he could have been more of a dick.
But I feel like it's something really interesting that this episode did, and I'm sure we'll get into it in more detail as we progress, but you really, or at least I did in a number of places in this episode, really feel for Damien Dark. You actually see the humanity in that character for one of the first times in all of his appearances in the Arrowverse. But it's juxtaposed with these moments of just abject cruelty and evil like that, like things that happen towards the end of the episode. And I think that's a really interesting juxtaposition, because even as you feel for him, you remember that like 2 seconds ago, he killed the nice upswipe man for no reason.
I think that's why it's there. I think he has to do something kind of horrible in the beginning of the episode so you get a sense of when you humanize him, it doesn't humanize him too much.
Right.
Yeah, because that's what I've always liked about Damien Dark is he is this psychopath, but like in a fun way where it's entertaining. But there is this side to him, though, that always has had a feeling for his daughter and his wife before she died. And, you know, so he's always been sort of a three-dimensional villain. Just Legends is exploring more of the fun side.
That's right. Yeah. I forgot he had a wife in season four of Arrow, who was around for a lot of it. My bad.
But I feel like that's always better. A monster's not a monster 24 hours a day. So I feel like there's got to be something, that, at least the more engaging and entertaining ones, or at least they have some kind of humanity to them, and it's just a matter of finding out what that is.
Not Godzilla. Monster 24/7.
Hey, he saved us from Mothra.
That's true.
There you go, see?
Still a monster, though. Doesn't make him not a monster, for the record. Just gonna be contrarian. Yeah,
that's right. And it's like, I have so many things to say, but none of them are appropriate, so I'll just keep them to myself.
Right. So the whole big gist of that storyline is the totems. Mm-hmm. Nora can activate Amaya's totem. It's not working for her. And then we also find out that, of course, we have the fire totem, but it's in shattered pieces. So how do we make that work? We need to talk about cold fusion, guys.
Can you, Frank, Dave, Lucretia, can you guys really quick help me break down which totems there are? Because fire totem is the only one that I remember the name of offhand.
There's fire, there's earth, that was the one that
was
cursed.
That's right, because it's the title of the pirate episode. Got it.
Yeah, there's the vixen totem.
Right, animal totem?
Animal.
Yeah. I think it's spirit.
Yes.
Oh, that would make sense.
Heart.
Basically.
And water. There's the water one.
That's Kawasa has.
Okay.
Inside Kawasa. And then there's a fifth element that they don't know what it is.
Right.
I'm assuming it's...
the Soul Stone.
It's, it's what's her name from the movie Fifth Element.
Yeah, that's what I was like, Lilu.
I was going to say, like, if I said the actress's name, that would be a funny joke. And then there's another element that they're very unsure about, I think. Right, isn't there
yeah,
like
six? Yeah, because I think they knew of five, and then they're like, I don't know what the sixth one is, because they say you
what
need all
six.
One? I'm not sure what the fifth one is, because I know that they need to gather all six totems. And like, we only knew of five. What's this? We didn't even know there was even a sixth one.
Okay, Luna Malfoy 7 says, spirit, wind, water, fire, earth, and the mystery one is death.
Right.
Okay.
So the four elements, and then spirit, and then a mystery one we don't know yet, but apparently it could be, according to Luna Malfoy 7, death.
Dun, dun, dun. But luckily, even though cold fusion hasn't been invented, because Ray would know about that, Damien Dark happens to know, there was.
That's me.
And I made sure that it didn't get out. I cut to a nice, delightful flashback of him back in the Cold War doing what
with
he does best.
The best bangs.
Best hair, man.
Mm.
That's the prime Damien Dark right there.
Back then, the hair was his magic.
But I love those, because we saw him back in the 40s. Still rocking that same old Damien Dark look that we know and love. And then he just took this offshoot back in the 60s. Like, man, I'm just going to grow this long.
It was just Chris Gaines time. Yeah.
Like, everybody wore their hair long back then.
There you go. Do you have a long hair face?
Yes. I was about to be like, no, but then, I did.
We need to find those pictures.
How long are we talking?
Honestly, they're probably not that hard to find, but no, we're talking like high school. We're talking like maybe sophomore, junior year of high school, but then after that, I was like, this is awful.
Did you go ponytail?
No.
Oh, I wish. I wish it was ponytail.
I maybe should have, but honestly, it wasn't even like a, it was not a good look. It wasn't even like...
Most of the time it isn't.
No, but it's not even like, oh, you could pull off the long hair if you just tried a little bit. And it was just a fundamentally corrupted idea.
Yeah.
But I just let it go for the longest time. I mean, like, down to my shoulders
yes.
for a while.
Did you have long hair? I bet you had a ponytail.
God, no. I never did a ponytail. I did let it get a little long. Maybe, like, down to here?
Yeah.
Yeah. I, there was a moment in life where I gave up. Well, I'm still giving up in life.
I'm just glad y'all gave up, you know, because my dad never did, and it's still the same haircut since at least 1977.
Well, that kind of comes with being a strip club DJ, right?
Yeah,
kind of the long hair ponytail.
Yeah.
Dave?
I mean, when my hair gets long, though, it gets, it's fro.
Goes wide?
It goes, like, out and up. So, senior year of high school, I think it was out to here. Because we made a pact not to cut our hair until we graduated. So it was out to here, and I wore a lot of bronzer because I was playing, unfortunately, Sitting Bull in Annie Get Your Gun. And I decided it would be less racist if I just cover myself in bronzer instead of putting on makeup the night of. It just made me a very orange man with giant hair walking around. That was my senior year of high school. So thank you very much.
Well, at least you could be president now that you know. You know, with the orange and big hair.
That's all it takes. Yeah, that's exactly. The first step.
Do you ever wish you still had that hair, Dave?
No. Well, I'm getting there. It needs a haircut right now. It's getting a little big.
Now, let's make a vow. Wish was the beginning of the season. Nobody's cutting their hair until the end of the season. But
nobody's cutting their hair until Legends comes back for season 4.
Yeah.
I'm not making that promise. I'm not.
You also can't shave.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll just get the Dumbledore beard. That
would be delightful.
Little Rob Zombie thing going on. I could dig it.
Yeah. Ooh, perfect. Yeah.
Now,
you can dig through the ditches?
Yeah, and burn through the witches.
Yeah, Dracula.
Yeah.
Folks, we learned a lot about our hairstyle choices there of our youth. But you know what? If you want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life, you know, for those who do, we've got a podcast just for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos, podcast edition, is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder, Maria Menounos, and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life, from health and wellness to career and relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister you never had. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate and comment, and when you do, let Maria know it was us who got you there. Mm. Conversations with Maria Menounos, podcast edition. Check it out.
Tell her, hey.
Dave sent me to you.
Exactly that.
Now, the reason why there was a back and forth, I believe, is from that one comment. Can we read that one comment about what each totem?
Oh, yes. Alex D. Figueroa Jr. says, Dave wields the hair totem. I weave the ship totem. Lex has the nerd totem. And Frank has the beef totem.
Oh.
I totally agree with that.
Beef totem. That's right.
I think we will accept those powers.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a lot.
And also, like, there's speculation that I have the death totem, and if any of us did, it would be me.
There you go.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. So our other thing is that we've got Wally joining the Legends, and it happens in the most the easiest way possible, where Rip comes back on with Ava and Sarah there on the waiver and says, "Hey, sorry guys. Trying to make amends." It's the quickest, easiest. Like, sorry guys, and then everything's like back to normal.
Yeah, I mean, it was after all that time we spent with them in last episode. It was a little bit disappointing, bit of a letdown intro. But it was still nice to, I hope Wally does find a place on the team and they're able to use him. And I hope this episode isn't an example about how they're going to use him, because it seems like they're just like, send the speedster. Wrap it up at the end. So I hope there's kind of something there. But
true, but it makes it the easiest way possible for the Legends, finally. They have a speedster of their own. Like, let's just take it. We don't have to have plans go to crap on us anymore. Just send this fast guy.
Yeah, I feel like that's going to be easier. It's like It's like more of a surgical tool for their chainsawness.
He did like Deus Ex Machina the Totem, which was pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
he took a souvenir, and that was actually one of my favorite parts of the episode, when Nate is got a contact eye from the Grateful Dead concert and is explaining to Wally after he took the glasses back, because Mick, once a thief, always a thief, he goes, "Oh no, we allow minimal to moderate theft." Yeah. It's called taking a souvenir.
I like how that's kind of, I imagine that's kind of their pressure valve for Mick. Just so it's just like, he's not going to steal a big thing if he could steal little things.
Yeah, it's like, you can steal Jerry Garcia's glasses, but you know what? Leave the guitars.
Just
okay?
don't steal Jerry Garcia.
Yeah. You got to leave him there.
My little beef. Let's see if Dave's ready.
Here we go. Yum, yum, yum. I'm hungry.
I'm activating my beef totem. I just got to hit that and just like a big picture of beef. Just going to flash that over my head.
Just become a giant hot dog.
we talk about the Deus Ex Machina with Wally at the end of the episode, where he grabs Ray from back at the Cold War, takes him back to the Wave Rider. He runs up, grabs him. Nora's standing right there. Why don't anybody say, like, hey, grab that totem with your super fast reflexes, grab that out for Neck 2, now we've got a bunch of totems. And nobody does. They just grab Ray and they take off.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's certain things that's just like, yeah, especially when you're a speedster and you're running against, and now the crux of it is who has one piece of jewelry and who doesn't. They're going to really have to figure out a way to not have Wally just go and just steal everyone's jewelry, because that just feels like the fastest way to get things done.
Right. Well, hopefully now that Damian Dark is aware that they have a speedster on the team and he's dealt with speedsters a number of times in the past, hopefully he will tip everybody off and they'll take some precautions.
Well, yeah, because, you know, he was even able to stop Reverse Flash at times with some of the technology. And so I do feel like he, now that he knows Wally is on their team, would have precautions in place.
Yeah, but to be fair, I think also the one thing that explains that is sometimes the legends are a little stupid. And I think really...
You mean they're outcasts?
They're outcasts and misfits. They're not heroes.
Gotcha.
And if... I don't think... Wally, one, didn't realize Vixen's totem was on Nora, I don't think. Mm-hmm. I don't think he kind of knows what the situation is. So he didn't know. And two, no one thought to tell him. Because they just got a speedster, it's new to it. They didn't even think about like getting a fire totem or anything. He just happened to steal it, and so they were lucky. So they just didn't know.
Right. So it was, right? It was pure luck that he happened to steal the totem. He was just like, I'm on an adventure, and I'm going to steal something, and that's shiny.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and Ray did point out to Nora later, you know, whenever they screw up at first, he goes, we do this all the time. Like, we usually mess up the first time, and, you know, that's kind of how legends are.
I do like Sarah's, listen, we're the king of bad, we're the all-stars of bad introductions.
Yeah.
And I just kept thinking, like, especially Firestorm.
Yeah. That's true.
R.I.P. Firestorm. The worst of introductions is a roofie.
Yeah. Just one room in the Wave Rider that was dedicated, like the hall of bad first introductions.
Right.
And you just saw, there you go, here's the roofie that Martin Stein used.
Right.
Yeah.
Speaking of rooms in the Wave Rider, there's a lot of people that tweeted at us at the end of the show and today about how they were very upset with Sarah and Ava, how we didn't get to see them in, like, Sarah's bedroom. And it did make me realize, have we ever seen anyone's bedroom?
No,
we saw Mix when they were trying to look at his
manuscript. I feel like we
did
see Mix. Yeah. Okay,
when they did see Mix. Yeah, when they found all the booby traps on his book.
Right.
Wait, was that his bedroom, or was that just, that was a storage shed?
I thought that was a storage area.
It was a storage area.
Oh, maybe in my head.
I don't even think it was a storage area. So I don't know if we've seen anyone's bedroom. I don't know where anyone sleeps. And a lot of people were like, two or three people tweeted at us like, we really wanted to see what Sarah's room looked like. Like, what does each of their rooms look like? I also think they just wanted to see them cuddling in bed.
Yeah, sure. Which is cute.
I think the most we ever got was seeing Mick come out of wherever his room is, holding his basket of laundry.
Right.
That was it. We never got to see what was inside it.
We see laundry and dishes in common areas. But we want the juicy stuff.
There's a lot of photos of my dead sister. Don't get creeped out by it.
You can't quite see who she is because we haven't cast her yet, but there's all these kind of pictures. Oh, that's a Ray, not that's a fiance. Yeah. Ray's fiance.
We also have Ray and Nora's episode, their adventures there back in the 60s.
Yeah.
They go back, they get that scientist, but of course their time stone shattered by Damian Dark himself. Who is
right.
So how does it like being pursued by your own father while you're trying to get out of Berlin holding a man who holds the secrets of cold fusion?
So remind me, why is he so old? Why is he over 250 years old? What has kept him going?
Magic.
That would have been my guess. But okay, then my question would be, this hopefully is something that we could go back and have answered for us, maybe even in season 4 of Arrow. But then I would wonder, why did he have his magic hundreds of years ago and then didn't have it for a little bit in the 60s? Because 60s Damian Dark doesn't have magic.
True, and he even makes a reference like, ooh, a magic totem. I got to get me one of those.
Right.
Like,
right. Oh, that's what I'm kind of wondering about his timeline right now. I don't think Do we see him in the past really with magic, or do we see just his body? I got the feeling they took his body in the past.
Like in the 40s when he was on last season, he didn't have
magic.
Yeah.
He didn't have magic. He was just a gangster.
And he even makes a comment in this episode, magic, I should try that. So this may have been how, like, he was his own anachronism. He taught himself magic by, like, just seeing that. And he's like, huh, cool.
And you're right. Wait, so when we saw him in the 40s... He was just a gangster with a hat. So that means he went from the gangster in the hat to this hair. He grew out this hair.
And I don't know, in the 40s, had he already been part of the League of Assassins, or is that still yet to come?
Yeah, because that's what everybody is saying. It was the Lazarus Pit water, but I think that this may be the introduction of him going there.
Right, maybe.
You know, because he's looking for magic and how to use magic now because they've... Yeah.
Right, but then...
But I don't think he had done any of this before now.
Right, but that doesn't make sense because he would know about magic. If he'd been using the Lazarus Pits before 1962, I feel like he wouldn't have reacted, oh, magic, this is exciting and new and different.
Yeah, if he's...
Right.
Multiverse.
Maybe, I mean, he's what, he's 245 years old, at least present day. So you figure there's... You know, back then, there had to be something keeping you alive. You'd be like, yeah, I'm just, you know, what's keeping me alive? No, I'm not even going to question that. Alive and in the prime of my life.
He's vegan.
That's, there you go. That's what you need.
That's it. That's how you get powers. That's how
he gets
Brandon Routh did it in Scott Pilgrim. Take it full circle.
But I did like the climactic battle there on the rooftop where Damon Dark's got to fight himself in the prime of his life. I thought it was really cool.
It was good, but I did realize how very little that is it called? It's not called a baklava. That's a dessert.
Yeah, that's a Greek dessert.
the balaclava.
Balaclava. Yeah. When he's wearing the baklava, when he's got the baklava on his face, I did realize, like, man, he just, like, his eyes are so piercing. I feel like even if I had those eyes and saw myself with those eyes, I'd just be like, ooh. That's me.
Exactly.
Doesn't
like
hide
that.
Very much, you know.
That must be me coming from some other time period.
Ooh, that's me. And I did. There was a lot of good fighting. There was a lot of good. I thought maybe the hair was just there to hide the stunt double, but it was like a lot of good fun and assassin-y stuff. And the guy who like the Cold War guy with the doll.
Yep. I am surprised though that Nora never really gave Damon a hard time. Like that was your hair? You used to have rock hair like that?
You did that?
Also, if Damian Dark was once one of the greatest assassins in the world, though granted this is by his own estimation, so maybe he is embellishing a bit. But if he was as efficient an assassin as he seems to be, how come him and Malcolm didn't know how to shoot people last season?
That was because it was the Star Wars episode, and they were supposed to not
the
be able to hit them.
Yeah. Okay, I'll buy it.
Yeah, that's what I'm going with.
Yeah, but that's still a big... Unless magic has just made him rusty, because he probably hasn't shot a gun.
Okay, actually, you know what? That's actually very fair.
He probably hasn't shot a gun in 50 years.
Yeah, okay, fair. Point. I do accept that.
That is Legends Logic with Dave Child.
Legends Logic with Dave Child. Let me talk your way through all the plot holes.
So, while we've got them trapped back in the past, we also have Ray trying to provide some kind of counseling between to both Nora and Damien about how to kind of make sure that this father-daughter relationship is on as best footing as it possibly could be.
Yeah, this was very fun, right? In a world where I think we were all head-scratching a little bit at the resolution or the lack of resolution at the end of last week's episode, I feel like at least they really made the most of the dynamic between these three characters.
Yeah, I actually think they did a good job, especially the between Ava and Ray. Like, I think they did a good job putting them in a spy situation, so he had to lie and lie horribly, and she had to lie and lie great. And it made me kind of like the two of them. I'm curious to see what happens.
Hey, yeah, I kind of think. I mean, Nate did say, "Do you like Nora?
Do you like her?
Yeah." And it was cute.
I saw some other chat where there were some comments about this episode, and said, "You know, they've already been kind of laying the groundwork for a Zari Ray relationship. So, and that'll be so much better when he's with Zari, who's a little bit more cynical." I'm like, I don't know if I've ever seen any kind of hints of a Zari Ray kind of relationship development.
No, if they did that, it would feel as like forced as the Ray Huck girl.
Yeah, there were definitely moments of the two of them specifically bonding, but I never read it as anything more than friendship.
Yeah. I read it, especially with Zari, plays very deadpan and straight, and it's just them talking, and it feels like a very friendshipy thing. This one, it feels like they're fighting and fighting until they kiss sort of feeling to it. And I could see it happening. And also, we got to meet her as an innocent little girl, which is weird for Ray. But for us, it makes us like her more. It makes us feel like we could see the innocent being kind of corrupted. So there is a path of redemption that's being set out for her character.
Well, and two, having Ray be the one to say, you know, and when he talks to Mick and other people about, you know, wanting to save her, that's also kind of sweet and leading towards more, in my opinion, because Ray sees a different side of her that she's not able to express in her relationship with her father. But that's why I liked him sort of talking to both of them, wanting them to be, you know, him to be a better dad and all this. It was very sweet on Ray's end, and you see even Nora be receptive of not wanting to torture the doctor after a while. I mean,
And we do have Ray helping Damien tie a more efficient knot, which I thought was a nice little scene. Mm-hmm. Even though you're subduing me, I'm going to make sure you do it the best way possible.
Yeah, that was because I'm an Eagle Scout.
You know, I will have to say, as an Eagle Scout, and I am an Eagle Scout, I do not know what he's talking about. Not every Eagle Scout has those superpowers. So he's also super smart. And so maybe that's why he knows that stuff, but it's one of those things that they like to do in stories where make him an Eagle Scout, then he knows everything about wilderness. I'm like, I'm an Eagle Scout, I don't.
Wait, what is your knot knowledge like, Dave?
Yeah.
It's pretty good. I can save some knots do some knots to save your life and save my own. I could do a bowline knot really well, but mostly only around myself. So it's hard to do it around other people, but I know some knots. We could do some knots.
All right, so if you were there to help us move large furniture, being insecure, you could help us in that.
Sure, I guess. I could also just pick up your furniture for you.
All right, nice. What are you doing next Saturday?
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I got a thing next Saturday.
Wait, I mean, it sounded like you were completely free.
Well, no, not Saturday. It's an Eagle Scout get-together. Where all the Eagle Scouts get together. We practice our knots. That's what we always do. That's how we know.
My little mini beef about the Ray storyline.
Mini beef.
Here we go.
The Vienna sausage.
when they come back and they've got Ray all tied up, Damien pulls out Ray's little miniaturized version of the Adam suit.
Mm-hmm.
So Ray had this with him when he was still in pirate gear. Why did he just not put that on when he went back to give them the antidote? Why don't you go in, you know, as armed to the teeth as possible when you're going up against Damien Dark?
Yeah, I mean,
we did this last week, though. I feel like, why did you go alone? Why didn't you try and negotiate for more totems?
No, true, but why, if you were going to go alone, I can understand that, but go with as much armament on yourself as possible.
You're playing Monday night quarterback. That's what you are right now.
But the show airs Monday night. That's the perfect time.
You're the Monday morning quarterback. Ray is the cutest, but
the dumbest genius there is.
He's also extremely optimistic.
Yeah.
So without some guidance from Sarah and Rip and other people, he will go in with kind of feeling like this is going to go morally right and correct, and he doesn't really have a strategic mind. So he brought the thing in case he needed it, but he didn't wear it like he should have.
That I could totally go with, but it also seems a little bit like he forgot things. Like, he's met Damien Dark before a couple of times.
Yeah, man.
You know, Ray wants to see the good in people, even Damien Dark, and especially Nora Dark, because he thinks she's pretty. And that's really what happened, is Ray's like, I'll save her, and he'll be really grateful because he loves his daughter, which was true. Honestly, Damien was like, all right, yeah, whatever. And then she shook him, and he's like, okay, well, I guess, you know, I'll help you out, sweetie.
We're nibbling at your beef, but we're not eating it.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
It's still sitting there, and anyone can pick it up for leftovers.
Okay, all right, I appreciate that. We also learned, I think this has been mentioned before, that Ray likes to put butter in his coffee. Did anybody ever
put butter? I've heard of this.
A lot of people do that.
This is like, it's part of like the Bulletproof Coffee thing.
Yeah, and so like actually, Brandon Routh is in love with Bulletproof Coffee, which started in Vancouver while they're filming, and this is actually just the recipe for that. It's coffee with butter and MCT oil, and because he even brings up the MCT oil like later.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah,
what's MCT oil?
It is some sort of dietary supplement. I actually put it in my coffee. That's why I know. And it's, you know, a little bit of protein. I wish
Sounds
I knew more
like
about
it. Yeah.
Have you guys ever had drugs in my coffee the full too. Bulletproof coffee?
Yeah, it's really good.
Is it?
Yeah.
It just seems weird to put butter in coffee.
Well, actually, butter is much better for you than cream. Anything else to put in your coffee. And Vinny Tortorich, Adam's trainer, would say, like, yeah, like, butter in your coffee or cream in your coffee, just straight cream, way better than the crap that people are putting in it now.
I'm from New England. I like to put maple syrup in there.
Really? Wait, is that a thing?
Yep.
My friend always put the syrup in her coffee at IHOP.
Try it out. Yeah. It's great.
I lived in New England for like 4 years. I've never once heard of this.
Yeah. Oh, you got to go to like Vermont and Maine and stuff.
That's why.
Oh, all right. You got to go to really cool areas.
The cool areas like Vermont and Maine.
The other storyline, too, of course, is that we have Ava and Sarah. They have a little night of passion. They're in the Wave Rider.
Little night of passion.
Ooh. And they hang out. Two things that we find out, though. One is getting back in touch with the Time Bureau, only to see Grodd, who I had forgotten. That I was like, yeah, that's right. They did get Grodd.
That wasn't so
cute. But Grodd comes back and basically lays waste.
Just stomps that dude out.
Happens with Grodd, because it's like, Grodd's here. Well, he's part of the team, but we don't have budget for him, so you'll see him when you need to.
Yeah.
But I was excited when Grodd joined that dark team.
Yes.
And I really love the line whenever Ava's like, oh my god, and then Rip goes, it's Grodd, actually. Like, he was just like such a douche, but it was funny.
Oh, we're back to brown coat Rip.
Actually, what we got, I think we got Rip's ultimate form in this episode, in that there was a scene where he had his Time Bureau blue suit on under the brown coat.
There you go.
Yeah, I guess
It was cute.
I have a little bit of a beef. I had
lay
a,
down the beef.
Oh,
Dave's got beef.
Dave's got beef.
I just thought
Dave's got beef.
This was such a moment when it happened, and I feel like you did the same thing too. Right. And I wish we had watched it together, but like, because as soon as it happened, I went like, "Oh, come! What are you doing?" And it's when Rip was like, "Delete file.
Yes. Yep.
Something.
Yeah."
Sarah must never know about Ava's past. And I'm like, who do you say? Who don't say that to Gideon? You don't need to say that to Gideon. All you needed to do was just like delete file something concerning Ava. That's it. That's it. And it would have been mysterious as hell.
Yeah.
That's all you needed to do. Even that. Even the deleting of the file is fine with me.
Right.
Because he's like, oh, she's in a relationship. She can't know that Ava's really her granddaughter from the future. Or
that's messed up.
That's too late. No, that information would have been way more useful yesterday.
Yeah. I don't think that's actually the case, by the way. Was like my first thought that came. I was like, uh-oh, we don't know what time she's from. But as soon as they were like, delete the file, I was like, that's cool, but then the whole, like, never know. By the way, I'm on a TV show.
It was, like, major, like, I thought he was going to twirl his mustache. Yeah. Like, but Alex D. Figueroa Jr. brings up, I think Ava's a time anachronism, and that's what I said, too, when I was talking to somebody earlier today. I'm like, I think that may be the thing here, is that Ava is an anachronism.
Uh-oh.
I like that. Yeah. That might be a good one.
Yeah, that'd make a lot of sense grammatically.
I could also think that maybe she's related to Dark somehow.
That was my other thought, too, like some other daughter.
Yeah.
Well, and two, being her last name is Sharp, we've had Evelyn Sharp on Arrow, and then, what is her name? Hazard.
I don't know.
Yeah, her last name is Sharp as well on The Flash. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Like Sharp's running around.
Yeah.
A lot of Sharps.
So I'm like, she could be potential relatives of these people.
Right. I do. I was getting a lot of tweets, though, after it aired, with a lot of people worried that this means Ava's somehow going to die. And I understand why people are concerned about that, because when there's a woman in a relationship with another woman on TV,
especially this network,
it has a problem of ending in death. But what I think right now is I think they recognize that problem, so I'm hoping that makes her a little bulletproof.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure that the CW, after the backlash from the 100 or whatever, that I don't see them killing her off. And thank you, chat, for telling me it's Becky Sharp. I was like, oh, I'm drawing a blank.
Becky Sharp, okay.
And so she's eating a lot of butter and MCT oil to help make her bulletproof?
Yeah, bulletproof.
Just like that. There you go.
Done.
But I feel like we have Martin Stein's daughter and grandchild.
Yes.
That are an anachronism. So I feel like we could finding out that Ava's an anachronism doesn't mean that she has to be erased.
Right.
Or
what if
corrected.
It's Martin Stein's great-granddaughter or something? Because we don't know what... when it comes to the Time Bureau people, we actually don't know what time each of these people are from.
Yeah.
Fair,
they
yeah.
could be from separate times. They could all be anachronisms, and maybe that's how they are able to survive.
I at least hope Gary is from our time, because then it would explain his, you know, his yeah. behavior. He's just being Gary. Yeah.
Oh, Gary.
You know, he's a millennial.
How I'd love to be the bumbling fool in a Time Bureau.
That's right. So we do have, in terms of the Totem storyline, pretty quick story, but that Wally at least at first attempts to help them meditate. Was like, oh, hey, that's a great way to get him involved with the team pretty quickly. But then he ruins that pretty quickly.
Yeah, I was helping out my bro Nate for a while when he was trying to get over this basic bitch. I'm that basic bitch.
Why?
Yeah.
Why?
You're talking to two women.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you use the term bitch. Wally, no.
And like he's grinning like a puppy while he does it.
Yeah, he's I'm
you'll
such a good
get
bro.
This. You'll get how much we could talk about bitches, right? Oh, Wally.
And I like that he literally runs away after he does that. He's like, whoop, gotta go.
But we find out that once they get to that space in between spaces there, that the totem hasn't activated for Nora is because she doesn't really have a selfless reason to use it yet.
Right.
So Amaya's connection is stronger. But at the end of the episode, when she's willing to let herself be killed for Damien to save himself, it activates. And now Amaya's lost control of that totem, and it's taken over that little space in between space. It's getting closer and closer for Malice to now come back to our space.
Yeah.
And that scene where he's trying to fight off himself while keeping her afloat, I thought that scene was insanely tense and insanely effective. I was a little bit blown away at parts. And I love watching Damien come to that moment. It's like he knows deep down that he loves his daughter, but we never see him express it. We never see true emotional vulnerability from this dude. And watching this moment where he breaks, where he decides to let his daughter die, and not carelessly, vindictively, or because it's good fun, but because he has to, it absolutely tears him apart.
Yeah, and because she begs him to do it, and she, when she's acting unselfishly, that's the moment that kind of clicks. But it's interesting, it's the moment, a good moment is what brings the darkness in, which is interesting. It's not, I'm curious to see if, that's why I think she's on a path of redemption, where she's going to have to defeat Mollus kind of in her own head and her own way, and that's how Mollus is really going to get destroyed in the end, is through her means.
Yeah, because you do see these moments with her character, especially throughout this episode, where she isn't evil. You know, she's just obviously misled. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm glad they also brought up the fact that it's like, you realize you're palling around with the dad that left you to be with a demon in order to save his own skin.
Yeah, that talked you into doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, yeah, you gotta go. But I did like, I feel like Damien definitely has that sense of remorse from that conversation they have at the end of the episode about doing that, even though he was selfish, but also he can be feeling like, man, this maybe not was the greatest idea that I've hooked my daughter up with some kind of interdimensional demon.
Right, so, but he brought her cocoa, so it's a wash.
But I'll be curious to see when he sees
jitters.
The effect that this is having on her, as we see at the end of the episode, how Damien's gonna react. Like, the fact that he wants, certainly would love to see the world kind of destroyed, but the fact that he'd have to probably destroy his own daughter in the process of that, is that going to make him still be all on board with this?
Right. Well, he wants to destroy it and then remake it in his own image. It's that remaking that I think he puts a lot of his hopes and dreams in. Like, if he destroys it, he can remake his daughter and then he'll be fine.
Yeah.
Which is not a good...
Yeah. No. Well, that seems like a great place for us to make some predictions about what we might be seeing
in
future episodes.
AfterBuzz predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV prediction.
I like what we did.
Yeah, I like Dave's sound effects.
There you go. Any thoughts about next week's episode?
I didn't see what's next week on.
I never see these next week on. So what? In brief, what did the next week on seem to indicate?
It's a lot of fun, a lot of hijinks, a lot of wackiness in the
course
of time.
Are they being heroes?
Bad first impression.
It's Elvis Presley, guys.
Yeah.
Oh,
really?
Yes.
Okay, who do you think on that ship is the biggest Elvis nerd? I honestly, low-key, I could almost see it being Mick.
I actually think it will be Mick, just because it's like that would be fitting with his character without being too hokey.
Yeah.
Because it's like you could see him being somebody who's really into Elvis.
Elvis is kind of like something that a lot of dudes like tend to like.
But I think it's an old enough thing. Yeah, I think that would be Mick. I don't imagine any of the younger legends who are going to be as tied in.
No, and it's not nerdy enough for Ray or Nate.
Like, if Stein had been around, Stein would probably be deep into it.
Oh, yeah. Because that is the thing, is Stein would have been somebody around at that time,
Right, but also Mick seems to very quietly really enjoy a lot of art. He actually seems to be a fan of most things, except, like, clowns.
True, well, we even remember from the very first episode where they're playing that old song in the bar, or at least whatever it is, but his mom played all that music for him as a kid, so kind of sucked him into it, so I can understand why he'd be into it.
What Everyone's saying Nate is. Maybe.
Well, Nate does kind of look like Jonathan Rhys-Meyers in a little bit, so maybe he thought, like, who was a really good Elvis in a TV movie, and I'm like, so maybe he's like, my mom always thought I look like him.
He's got the pompadour, too. Yeah. It kind of has the hair.
Do we see any of the legends actually singing any portion of an Elvis song?
Hunka Hunka Burning Love should be in there, especially if we have Mick doing the fire stuff.
I can see it. I wouldn't mind seeing the entire Legends lineup wearing the jumpsuit and the hair and the like in 3,000 Miles to Graceland, like when they're just like walking through somewhere.
Oh, I love that movie.
It's quite a thing, man. Frank.
Yes.
Have you seen the magnum opus, 3,000 Miles to Graceland?
Come on, Kevin Costner, Kurt Russell. How could you not see that?
It's got your Christian
film.
Slater, your David Arquette.
Yeah, who cares about those guys?
Bokeem Woodbine, I think. Wasn't he the fifth guy?
Yep.
No shade at David Arquette. Deputy Dewey was one of my first crushes, so no.
Like, which one? Like, where he's kind of gimped out and, like, Scream 2?
Oh, yeah, Scream 2 is my favorite because Timothy Oliphant's.
And he fought those giant spiders that one time.
That's true.
Eight-Legged Freaks, another great film there. Yes.
That's a great film.
Yeah, no. Of course, we've already talked about Constantine coming back for the last episode of the season, but he's also coming back in the 15th episode as well. Can't get enough of that Constantine.
Good news.
For two more episodes this season. So there you go, which is nice.
You're welcome.
The way they kind of let it, but I feel like he has information to impart, which he could deliver in the 15th, and then he can come back in the 18th to help them wrap it all up.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
And he might be involved with that death totem, is what I'm guessing.
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And it's a great way where you can do a pseudo info dump from a character from whom it makes complete sense. It's not like, I did some research and I unlocked a file we couldn't find before. I found the secret internet and now we know.
Yeah. He's a good... Also, by the way, we did reveal in this episode what Mollus's whole plan is to make him escape his prison by breaking down time itself. And that's why he's putting in all the anachronisms. And I really like that.
Yeah,
I think
it makes sense.
It actually makes sense.
Yeah.
And it's tied into, like, it's a good way of tying in the magic prison-y stuff with time. I think that's a good way of doing it, so.
And Matt Ryan, there's an article where he's saying that, I think it came out today, that there's no plans for a season two of Constantine. I feel that's just a direct challenge to Lucretia. To pick up the mantle and carry that.
Yeah. He's calling you out.
I know. It's like,
do you love my show, Lucretia?
Well, and two, if there is no season two of Constantine, maybe Constantine joins the Legends in this finale. I mean, that may be the thing, is maybe he's saying it because it's like, there can't be a season two of Constantine because I'm going to be on Legends
tomorrow.
There's going
to be a brown coat off.
Oh, yeah.
Well, but speaking of, even if there's not a full-time position for Constantine on the show, at least they could potentially utilize him the way they're utilizing Rip. Like, he pops in when he's necessary to facilitate the plot or throw his personality into the mix, and then he bounces for a little bit.
So you can only have one brown coat at a time?
Yes.
I call poppycock.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode of the Legends of Tomorrow After Show. But thanks, everybody, for hopping in the chat. Of course, you can give us a like on Facebook, those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Give it a thumbs up while you're there as well. Mm-hmm. And if you want to continue the conversation with any of us after the show's over, Lucretia, where can they find you?
Hey guys, since I'm Lucretia Lyon, you can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one. And I also have a podcast, so while you're there subscribing to Conversations with Maria Menounos, subscribe to my podcast, Mrs. Brightside. Mm-hmm. This week, I have Mr. Dave Child on. And then eventually, if you guys tweet Happy Go Jackie and the Lex Michael what they need to be on the bright side about, they will do the show as well. They're just having a little trouble coming up with something.
Why don't we come in together and talk about the bright side of each other?
Oh, yeah. That would be adorable.
It would be a very quick conversation for
it
Lex.
Would, real brief, 40-second podcast.
That's right.
I am Lex Michael. I'm all over social media at The Lex Michael. I also do a podcast with Tara J. Miller called Missing Out. We talk about art, media, culture, experiences, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This weekend, we're talking about Alex Garland's Ex Machina, a movie that tickled my brain. I think it might tickle yours as well. Find our podcast on iTunes at Missing Outcast. Also, wherever podcasts can be found. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean. Yeah, it gets a new one. Google Play, Podbean. Come check it out. We love you.
And I'm Dave Child, and you can find me at MR Dave Child on Twitter and Instagram. Also, DaveChild.com. Hey, also, while you're there at DaveChild.com or on Twitter at MR Dave Child, I have a new music video I'm in with my wonderful friend Chris Fleming. And we are in a music video for the band Darling Side, where we dance around an abandoned warehouse. So please watch it, share it, enjoy it if you want to see me dance around an abandoned warehouse in a bow tie.
That's true. It is delightful. I've seen it. Yes. I'm Frank Moran. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. And the four of us, just keep an eye out on our social media handles. The four of us are going to get together a little after this and talk about a new Robert Kirkman series from Image Comics called Oblivion Song. We're going to share our thoughts. We'll let you know where and when you can see that conversation taking place.
Yeah.
Until then, folks, I will see you back here next Tuesday night for another episode of the Legends of Tomorrow After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV.
I love you. Bye.
Speed off.
Swamp off.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Swamp up!
Death swamp life.
Swampy.
Yep.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.